The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
This run is on track to be a big one at 32 million strong today, and a pair of districts yet to see half or more of their forecast. And the Nooshkek now in striking distance to set an all-time record. Good day to you out there. It's Sunday, July 9th. I'm Dave Benninger, glad as always to be on board. Coming up, a greenhorn we introduced you to earlier in the season tells us the fishing has been good finally down in Ugashik.
Oh yeah, very productive. We're out here working and just killing it out here. Well, at least I think we are. I don't know how they think. I know I'm working hard.
We'll get an update from the Wood River Special Harvest Area, plus check in with Area Manager Paul Solomone, and we visit the summer home of Father Victor and Lena Nick, where faith, family, and fish are the priorities at fish camp.
Whatever you are given, you see that as a blessing.
All that is ahead on today's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Support for KDLG comes from Nomar in Homer, Alaska, working year-round to make gear for Alaska fishermen and offering brailer and slush bags for the fishing season. Information at nomaralaska.com or 1-800-478-8364.
Catch this show nightly at 6, 10, and 2 and early here on the weekends and online at kdlg.org. Support this show and all that we do at Bristol Bay's hardworking public radio station by making a pledge over the phone or online. 842-5281. That's 907-842-5281. The pledge drive starts officially tomorrow. Let's begin today with a summary of the run by the numbers, as we always do. Catch Saturday in Bristol Bay, an impressive 2,058,000 sockeye across all five districts. That brings this season's total harvest now to 20,200,000 sockeye. Escapement in all the rivers was 682,000. Cumulative is 11,066,000 counted as passage. In river estimate from the east side is 500,000 total. That brings the season total run to 31,800,000 sockeye through midnight yesterday. We'll break that down by district with most reporting good fishing. 386,000 yesterday in Ugashik. Ugashik season total harvest is now 1.46 million fish, 1,460,000. Ugashik River Tower counted 77,000 sockeye Saturday. Season total on the Ugashik River is 361,000. Out of escapement goal range of 500,000 to 1.4 million. Paul Solomone has an in-river estimate of 200,000 sockeye in the Ugashik. Brings the season total run right now to 2,021,000 sockeye. That's out of a preseason forecast of 5.4 million fish. Good afternoon down in Igigik, 604,000 sockeye on the books from yesterday. Season total harvest, 6.9 million fish. Escapement, counted by the tower crew there, 43,362 Saturday. Season total escapement is 2.19 million sockeye. Out of an escapement goal range of 800,000 to 200,000. So it's gone over by 200,000 fish. Paul Solomone on in a minute to discuss. In river estimate of 50,000, that brings the total run to the district 9,147,000 fish. Out of a preseason goal of 10.6 million. Naknek-Quijack fishing yesterday across all gear groups, landing 453,000 sockeye. Cumulative catch in Naknek-Quijack is 3.1 million. Escapement to the Naknek River was 71,600. Total escapement now on the river is 1.15 million. Out of a goal range of 800,000 to 2 million fish. Quijack River Tower counted 60,000 sockeye Saturday. Season total Quijack is 1.18 million. Out of a goal range of 2 million to 10 million fish. And the Alagnak Tower up counting this year. noting 123,000 sockeye Saturday. Season total on the Alagnak is 855,000 fish. With the Kwejak's in-river estimate of 250,000, the fish and game total run to the district through midnight Saturday, 6.5 million out of a preseason forecast of 16 million. The Nooshigak district does not seem to be slowing down. Reports in from set netters and drifters alike that the fishing has been impressive, minus the limits. 600,000 on the books in the district from yesterday. Season total harvest now in the Nooshigak, 8.6 million fish. That's bigger than the entire preseason forecast issued by Fish and Game. Nooshigak River Tower, rather sonar, counted 63,000 sockeye Saturday. Season total escapement to the Nooshigak is 2,292,000 fish, well over the top end of the goal. Wood River Tower counted 210,000 sockeye Saturday. Season total escapement on the Wood is 2.75 million fish, also above the goal by a wide margin. Igushik Tower counted 33,600 sockeye Saturday. Season total escapement to the Igushik River is 257,000 fish. All tallied up, that puts the Nooshigak season total now to 13.9 million sockeye, closing in very quickly on the 2006 all-time record of just over 15 million fish. Togiak fleet landing 15,000 sockeye yesterday, cumulative of 151,000 on the season. Togiak Tower counted 1,900 sockeye Saturday. Season total escapement, 13,000 fish. Total run to Togiak is 164,000 out of a preseason forecast of 660,000. Again, your baywide tally was 2,058,000 on the books yesterday, and the total run is now 31.8 million fish. The average sockeye per drift delivery for July 8th, Saturday harvest. Ugashik back up on the top of the board, reminding people why they like to fish there even when it takes off a little slow. 1,577 in Ugashik. Nooshigak was 1,190 fish. Igigik was 1,138. Naknek Kwejak 799. And Togiak 173. Your allocation splits at the moment. Ugashik accounting for 87.7% of the harvest. Drifters, set netters 12.3%. In Igigik, 86.4% drift, 13.6% set. Naknek Kwejak drifters, 69%. Set netters in the Naknek, 19%. Kwejak set netters, 12%. Nooshigak drift, 79.2% of the total harvest. Nooshigak set, 16.4%. Igushik set, 3%. Unspecified, 1.4%. Moving to your vessel and permit registrations. Lots of changing happening out there. Nooshigak is seeing an exodus as the fleet grows on the east side. In the Ugashik District, as of 11:50 a.m. today, 264 permits registered to fish, climbing to 332 in 48 hours. That's on 195 vessels, climbing to 255 in 48. 69 D-boats today will be 77. Igigik has 416 permits registered today, no changes indicated. That's on 314 vessels, 102 D-boats. Naknek Kwejak has grown to 520 registered permits today, going to 567 in 48 hours. That's on 436 vessels, climbing to 476. 84 D-boats will be 91. Nooshigak, almost down to half of its peak size here, 365 permits registered in the district today, staying no changes beyond that indicated to Fish and Game. That's on 279 vessels, 365 permits on just 279 vessels, 86 D-boats out there. And Togiak has 42 permits registered on 42 vessels. Baywide total as of 11:50 a.m., 1,607 drift permits registered to fish. 1,722 will be fishing in 48 hours. It's on 1,266 vessels climbing to 1,366 after a wait period there. And 341 D boats out fishing will be 356 after the wait. Port Moeller has just a couple of days left. One captain called in yesterday or this morning, said his crewman understood Fish and Game was stopping fishing on the 12th. Lesson learned to probably never listen to a crewman, but that's the Pandalus test fishing boat in Port Moeller will stop its efforts probably on the 12th. Yesterday's catches came in at a daily mean index of 40, down from 45 the day before. The day before that didn't fish. They estimated 41. The index before that was 22. And on the 4th of July, it was a big day with 79. Yesterday's 40 were broken down this way. Station 2, total of 12 fish. Station 4, 9 fish. Station 6, 7. Station 8, 30. Station 10, 27. Station 12, 8 fish. Station 14, 5. That was the Port Moeller catches from Saturday, reported in late last night. We'll have Sunday's catches for you tomorrow in the AM news. Side note from the West Side escapement counts, there were 760 Nooshigat Kings past the sonar. It brings the season total to within striking range of the bottom end of the goal. It's now 54,030 Kings up the Nooshigat. 55,000 is the bottom end. And finally here, in your daily run summary, the Area M fleet hauled in 157,000 sockeye yesterday. They also bagged 100 Chinook, 11 Coho, 250 Pink, and 454 Chum. Area M total catch yesterday was 158,000 fish across the five species. Sockeye total on the season is 4,087,000. Split rather evenly now between the South Peninsula and North Peninsula harvests. That is your daily run summary here on listener-supported KDLG. We'll be back in just a moment.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by the Bristol Bay Fisheries Association, advocating for fishermen. More information at bristolbayfishermen.org.
Thank you for staying tuned to this program. A reminder that our pledge drive begins tomorrow. We want to thank some companies who have agreed to help support this station in a very unique and innovative way. Ocean Beauty Seafoods, Icicle Seafoods, Alaska General Seafoods, and Leader Creek Fisheries so far have agreed to take your pounds of fish at the point of delivery as a donation to this station to keep programs like this, the music, late lines, open lines, NPR News, BBC News, and the rest that we pay for here on the air for you. So it's here next year. Ocean Beauty will be taking fish all week, Monday to Friday, starting tomorrow. Icicle Seafoods all week. AGS has agreed to take pounds as a donation on Thursday, and Leader Creek will on Friday. It's not too late for companies to sign up for this very easy way to make donations to KDLG. If you'd like to talk with your fleet folks, if they agree, we can make that happen very quick on this end. Thank you for all the support that we know you will send our way next week. What a day for fishing across Bristol Bay with 2 million fish harvests at least most every day of last week. We know there are limits out there. Sounds like good fishing in the Nooshigat from E-Cuck to the Drift Fleet and all the way up the Wood River, where we sent Nick Shalino this morning.
See about a total of, say, 10 boats, pretty even spread out between the two sides. Fishing seems to be pretty steady. Got about 1,000 pounds on board here, 3 bags full. They don't have the whole net out. They're saying that the fish are hitting hard enough to where they can only put half the net out, and catch their limit. The limit's set at 2,000 pounds right now. They're saying that's down about 500 pounds from a couple days ago. And if you have a fish ticket from earlier in the season before the run really picked up, they'll give you 1,000 more pounds there at Peter Pan.
KDLG's Nick Shalino checking out the Wood River Special Harvest Area in the Nooshigak District. Paul Solomon is the area manager for Igigik and Ugashik, both Igigik having a phenomenal start. Ugashik looks like they're headed that way. I spoke with him earlier for the latest.
So, Igigik is already over. It's a 2.2, top end's 2. We lost control of that last week. Ugashik, we are kind of in a nice zone down there. We got about 100, and actually we got about 360 at the tower or so. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. But that first push is tapering off. So I went with a 6-hour drift today to see if I could squeeze some fish by, and the fish beat me to it. So they started showing up at the Inner River Test Fishery in pretty good numbers last night. I probably got a couple of good tides behind that and some volume in the district, which we're probably not going to be able to adequately address.
Paul, if you were a drift boat out there just looking at the numbers, the total run to the Igigik District is closing in on its preseason forecast. Ugashik still has a bit of a way to go. What's your sense? Will Igigik keep going above and beyond? Will Ugashik get all the way there?
I think Igigik will go above and beyond at this point. I can't see us being done yet. And looking at all my run timings, we're at about the three-quarter point and all the averages that I track. Ugashik, I think we're going to be pretty good shape to get the escapement we need, and after that, we'll see what happens.
Earlier this season, we introduced you to an 18-year-old from Flint, Michigan, by the name of Jawanza Brown. Brown just graduated high school, got on an airplane for the first time in his life, left his home state for only the second time in his life, and he flew to Naknek, where he joined the crew of the Stevie K, a bow picker that fishes Ugashik usually from start to finish. Well, that start was a little slow to get going this year. I spoke with Jawanza earlier today to see how his season was going and if he felt the fishing had finally picked up down yonder.
Oh, yeah, very productive. We're out here working and just killing it out here. Well, at least I think we are. I don't know how they think. I know I'm working hard.
Well, it's good to catch up with you here. This is season number one for you, and long way from home. What do you think so far?
Well, I like it out here. You know, the more I do it, the more I get accustomed to it, and the better I feel about it. You know, at first it was kind of iffy, like, this is a lot of work. I don't know what I really got myself into, but the more I do it, the more I just like it. I really like it out here, catching fish and tossing them in and, you know, just all of it, you know, working on the boat. I love it. But, far away from home, though, it's a little hard. And just thinking about my family and people at home, I'm sitting there missing me and how much I love them, how much I know they love me, just thinking about them. It gets a little hard, but, you know, sometimes it becomes motivation, like I'm doing this for them. So it's not always hard. Sometimes it's a good thing.
Oh, great to hear. I'm sure they're very proud of you working hard out here, making some money. Ugashik was a little slow to get started. I'm sure the skipper and others that you've been talking to were maybe a little anxious for some fish. How was that sort of two-week period of kind of waiting around?
Yeah. I know we spent 9 days in Big Old Creek just waiting, you know, trying to wait to see when we get our first opening. And it's been a minute, but it's slowly, you know, graduating. We're starting to catch a little more fish as more we do it, but yeah, it did start off pretty slow, and I was a little disappointed about that first. Like, man, I wish we were catching a lot more fish. I wanted to, you know, make a living out here, but I guess it's all right. You know, we're getting there.
Do you get the sense that everybody's confident the rest of your season will show up here, that there'll be some busy fishing days right around the corner?
Oh, yeah. You know, not just talking and listening to people. Some people are feeling like, you know, there's going to be more and more fish coming in. Like, the season's starting to kick back up. They feel like that as the season progresses, it's going to get even better. We're just waiting for the fish to show up a lot more, and then we feel like it's starting to do that already. So I believe that, you know, it's going to pick up a lot more in the next couple of days or so.
Well, we certainly hope so. What has been the most interesting or curious or fascinating part of your first season coming up here to Bristol Bay? What's the first thing you're going to go home and tell everybody in Flint about?
Well, first thing I know and I want to tell you about is the lack of sleep you'll get up here. No, it's you know, it's summer break, but when you come up to Bristol Bay, your summer break is not the way you would expect it. You know, you think, oh, I'm sleeping every day. Nah, that's not an everyday thing. You probably never sleep in. You know, we get about 4 or 5 hours of sleep, and if we get lucky, we'll get five. You know, the lack of sleep is pretty, it's pretty amazing. But other than that, you know, not just that, there's a amount of showers you don't take. You know, you wish to shower every day, but that's not a thing here. But that's okay. We can work with that. And, you know, and it's a camaraderie we have up here. You know, I see, like, Buck and his radio group and his people he loves to talk to, they're all just good people, and they just come up here for the fishing and for the lifestyle, and how everybody just seems to have each other's back, the ones they equip themselves with. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, that's
and
great.
I like it.
Have you seen some interesting things there in Ugashik? Sometimes there's some seals and walrus and maybe an occasional whale happening by and things like that. Anything caught your eye wildlife-wise? Any bears on the creek?
Oh, yeah. Well, right now I'm just looking at this big pile of seagulls just sitting up there, and I'm like, okay. And then you see a lot of those seagulls up there, and then I've seen quite a few seals. You know, we fished and then casting the net out, and then one or two seals just show up and just bite the crap out of our fish, and we pick it up like, dang, look what happened. The seals taking the little fish already have, like, okay, thank you. But yeah, we have a lot of, we see some seals. I've seen the walruses, and that's pretty cool. Like, we were going down the cape, and then it's, like, cloudy, but, like, the sun is shining through the clouds right on the walruses. Like, it's a perfect spot. Like, it's a big crowd of walruses sitting on the cape, and then there's the sunlight just shines on them. That little spot was just shining on the walruses. I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, Juwanza, this is your first season up, and you'll put some money away for next year's college. Do you think Buck can entice you to come back up for year two in 2018?
Oh, yeah, I believe so. Yeah. We talk about that quite a few times, and that's basically his plan, you know, to have me up there for the next four years and keep this going and keep paying for my tuition and hopefully make a living on myself. Going through this, they'll pay for college, and I can just make that next step in life. And I'm trying to come back up here, and I know Buck plans to have me up there.
Good to hear. What do you think about the salmon you're eating aboard so far?
It tastes wonderful. I love it. I love it. The salmon is just so pink and it's so red, and I love it. I love it. So we barbecue it on here and put it in some rice and add some sriracha or soy sauce. They hook it up. It's really, really good. I love it.
Very good to hear, Juwanza. I know I'm talking to you right before the next opener, so I better let you get back to helping the skipper there. So good luck fishing today, and hope the season turns out great for you guys down there in Ugashik. Nice to catch up.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Is made possible by generous support from Bristol Bay Native Corporation, following a Fish First policy to sustain and promote the economic and cultural value of wild Alaska salmon in the Bristol Bay watershed.
Thanks for keeping it tuned here to today's show. We'll end with a different story today. Every year, Father Victor and his wife Lena come back to Dillingham to set up camp for the summer. The Knicks lived here for many years, but the Russian Orthodox Church has since relocated them first to Homer and now to Victor's home village of Queefluck, where he continues his ministry. KDLG's Zoe Laird has more on life in camp, where family, faith, and fish matters.
When asked how to take down a bear, Father Victor Nick laughs and says that question belongs to someone with more experience. I had to do that out of necessity. We have children here, he says. Elena Lena Nick, his wife of 27 years, nods in agreement, watching her children and grandchildren come and go through the camp trailer's door. Close to Dillingham's Kanatkanak Beach, a nuisance bear was recently posing a threat for the Knicks and families around their camp. Father Victor heard his neighbor hollering, walked over with a loaded rifle, and killed it. Though this was his first fatal confrontation with a bear, Father Victor's telling is brusque and free of bravado. "It was a 2-year-old, big enough to attack, it was ready to charge, I had no choice," he says. He simply kept danger at bay, and Lena wants to be prepared for a similar situation if her husband's not around. She's only fired a BB gun, and she stays at camp with her daughter and grandchildren when Victor goes fishing.
"Just the other day I was telling him, you need to teach me how to shoot that shotgun."
"No, rifle.
Oh, the rifle.
Victor and Lena Nick are lighthearted, but their resolve is strong. Protect and provide for family, guided by faith in their Creator. The Nicks were both baptized in the Russian Orthodox Church, and Father Victor has worked as a priest since the two married.
"With my family, church life is the most important thing."
The Nicks moved to Dillingham in 2001, where Victor was parish priest of St. Seraphim of Sarov for 11 years. Now relocated to Queethluk, Victor's home village, they return to Dillingham annually for the summer fishing season.
"This is like our second home. We call it our home."
Lena remembers the frequent moves for Victor's vocation.
"We have to do what our bishop tells us to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have to listen to him. Before we came, we had to ask permission from his grace, our bishop, for his blessing to come and fish here."
With the bishop's permission, the family returns to the land they purchased in Dillingham and set up camp every year. "It's a family affair for all of us," Father Victor says. "The men subsistence and commercial fish, both to prepare for the winter and make money, and this year they built their own smokehouse and drying racks. 2 sons, 2 daughters, 2 grandkids, and 3 hired crew members live at the camp this season, and Lena hopes for more family.
Hopefully, God willing, my parents will start coming here too. They're both alive. I'm still blessed with that."
1-year-old grandchild Sava happily pats dirt outside of the trailer, bibbed and lolling in the sunshine. Juliana, his 2-year-old sister, waddles between family members in pajamas. Lena's youngest child, Anna, is almost 9, and she bursts into the dining room with a caterpillar to share.
"It's a caterpillar."
In this household, the children generate a sense of constant motion and energy. "They are my joy. So wonderful to have them here," Lena says. In a Yupik family like the Nicks, caring for young and feeding the family are traditionally maternal jobs, and Lena relishes her role, which she learned from her mother before her.
"Everything that I know came from my mom, watching her, helping her, preparing the fish and everything else."
Lena refers to her own fish handling operation, where her goal is to avoid wastefulness. Whatever is not consumed is saved for later, and her practice exemplifies what she wants to teach her offspring.
"Whatever you are given, you see that as a blessing."
Father Victor carries the same spirit of gratitude when fishing or hunting, which he learned from his grandfather. He doesn't overharvest, and he doesn't let his game touch the floor, placing a board or a blanket between the body and the bare ground. "We were taught to treat anything we catch as sacred," he says, and then he recites a Yupik wisdom given to young hunters from elders. Their thankfulness like a prayer for a more prosperous catch. He still observes this religious respect for life amongst village hunters, where 80% of what lands on the table is from what they catch. Jobs are not dependable in remote villages, so without consistent income, gathering food is vital for families to sustain themselves.
I've watched in the village young men, young boys who are 9, 10 years old, holding a box of shells. You know, it's a real big deal to them. Big deal to them to experience going out and hunting for birds.
He passes Yupik village values to his children on the water during a fishing season that will last through the end of July. 19-year-old Wassily and 27-year-old Timothy fish with their dad, and Anna, eager to get on the skiff, will join them this season.
"Something I really enjoy doing, yeah. Teaching my children."
"Man, the whole net is covered."
The property is well provisioned but not excessive, modest but for the abundance of family and tradition. Father Victor gestures proudly towards the camp, indicating that every net used is made by his sons and himself. He rubs his fingers together, imagining the feel of net.
Handling, mending, hanging, making nets has always been my joy. I like the feel of the webbing and the cork line and lead line.
By their hands' work, Lena and Victor weave a way of life for their offspring, speak fluent Yupik, practice Christianity, and fish for food. Their eldest, Timothy, holds a fishing permit, and their future here seems as secure as the salmon flooding into Bristol Bay every summer. Under a bright sun, Lena tends to the smoking salmon, Father Victor makes nets, and the camp calmly waits for the start of fishing the next day. As Lena says, every fish is a gift worthy of gratefulness.
Because everything that is out there is created by God.
For KDLG, I'm Zoe Laird.
First salmon of the season, we always take and give to someone else. Any game we carry home, we feed others before ourselves. We've been here 10,000 years along this river shore. If there's any justice left, we'll be here 10,000 more.
Just a couple of letters from home to pass along here on this program today. One in from Kelly Jackson to the vessel Kelly J and the fishing vessel Crawdad. Kelly says, good luck, Captain Jackson and Captain Galen and Cooper Jackson. We hope the fish come your way. PMA all the way, go hard, work hard, be hard, from Kelly Jackson to the Kelly J and Crawdad. And also, missing one, a birthday announcement. Somebody celebrating a birthday out there today. We've lost that one in the pile. We'll have it for you belated tomorrow. This one in from Mark Hansen at Copper River Seafoods. We sent a question to him yesterday asking if they were continuing to post a pound. Or post a price per pound. He says, Dave, yes, we were at $1.15 per pound Monday through Wednesday, and on Thursday they went to $1 a pound. This is down from $1.35 earlier in the season. Again, that's Mark Hansen, the Chief Operating Officer at Copper River Seafoods. Mark, thanks for sharing that. If you have any price information from your companies you'd like to pass along here, you know how to get in touch with us. Fish at KDLG.org, 907-842-5281. A reminder, our pledge drive starts tomorrow. We need your help to keep this program and everything we do here on the air. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is dedicated to your fishery. It's made possible with the generous support of our underwriters, listeners, and you, the fishing fleet, with help from everybody here at KDLG. I'm Dave Benninger. Good night, good fishing. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
You're listening to KDLG Dillingham, AM 670, also heard on KNSA Unalakleet.
Welcome to Blues Unlimited. On this episode of Blues Unlimited, it's blues from Shreveport, Louisiana.